Let us now turn to the consideration of the Word of God, and we turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we shall read a few verses from this chapter, from verse 11. The words of the Savior, John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. May God add his own blessing again to this reading of his word. We come to consider the fourth I am of the Savior, his claim to be the great I am, but then various aspects of who he is, what he is concentrated upon. He claims here in verse 11 and again in verse 14 of this chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Now, last Lord's Day evening, we were in the same passage considering his statement, I am the door. And there is a very obvious connection between the door of the sheepfold and the shepherd of the fold and the shepherd of the sheep. But the Savior here is making this statement, I am the good shepherd. He doesn't merely say, I am the shepherd. That would be true. And that in many respects might be sufficient. But he identifies himself peculiarly as the good shepherd. Furthermore, he doesn't say, I am a good shepherd. But he states, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And that makes him unique. There are other statements regarding the Savior that identify him peculiarly as the shepherd. For example, over in First Peter, the epistle, First Epistle of Peter, we have there in chapter 5, Peter referring to the Savior as the chief shepherd. In verse 4 of 1 Peter 5, the chief shepherd shall appear. And so Christ isn't just the good shepherd, but he is also the chief shepherd. He is not among the chiefs. He is the chief shepherd. There is no shepherd in reality who can possibly compare with him. But then again, in the epistle to the Hebrews, in the chapter 13, we have reference to the Savior in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that great shepherd. You can see that these statements identify the Savior as being unique. He's the unique shepherd. He is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. that great shepherd, that shepherd that stands out as being superior to every other shepherd. Now, here when the Savior states, I am the good shepherd, we automatically think of moral goodness. He is morally good. He keeps the law of God. He obeys God's word and so on, and he does not transgress God's law. He's morally good. But the word itself goes further and means more. It means that which is beautiful, that which is attractive, that which has an appeal about it. And that is how the Savior is here speaking, I am the good shepherd. I stand out as being different to every other shepherd, being apart from every other shepherd. But here when Jesus states, I am the good shepherd, he is identifying himself in a way that he desires to be known. The Savior doesn't say, I am the good shepherd, just for the sake of saying it. He wants those who hear him to appreciate that this is true. I am the good shepherd. He wants to be known as the good shepherd. He wants you and I to appreciate the relationship about which here he speaks. There is no such a thing as a shepherd who doesn't have sheep. There's no such a thing as a shepherd who doesn't look after sheep or doesn't have a relationship with sheep. He's only a pretend shepherd if he's anything. The man who is a shepherd is known as such because he has a relationship with sheep. He has a relationship with a flock of sheep. And when the Savior says here, I am the good shepherd, it automatically brings us to consider there is a relationship that he wants us to know about here, a relationship between himself and his sheep. So we have to inquire as we go along, well, how do we recognize his sheep? We can only recognize his sheep as he himself recognizes them, and he tells us how he does this. But in the chapter that we read from Ezekiel, we read that for a reason, and I'm sure as we were reading it, you could understand why it's read. The Lord here is, through the prophet Ezekiel, speaking of his people, the church in the Old Testament, and they were neglected by their shepherds. Now, when the Lord is speaking of the shepherds of old, that meant the kings, the princes, the rulers, they were to shepherd the people of Israel. But because they didn't do it, the people wandered spiritually. And they wandered into idolatry. And they wandered away from God. And the result was they ended up in captivity. They ended up in bondage. But God makes this precious promise to encourage his people that this will not be the case forever. And so he tells Ezekiel and through Ezekiel the people what he himself will do. And the it is very interesting to just think how many sermons are listened to about the Good Shepherd and how many commentaries you will read on the Good Shepherd, and yet no reference to the Old Testament promises of God. And we cannot appreciate the real significance of what the Savior says unless we appreciate the significance of the promise of God. In Ezekiel 34, verse 11, here's what God says. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I even I. And here is an emphasis put on the action of God. I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will seek my sheep. Because they are presently scattered, I will seek them and I will search for them. And when we read in the ministry of the Savior, when he speaks of the shepherd leaving the 99 in the fold, and he goes to seek the lost sheep, and he seeks it until he finds it, that is the fulfillment of the very promise that is given here to Ezekiel. Then in verse 12 of this chapter, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them. God is not telling us what someone else will do. He is not saying, well, the princes and the rulers and the judges of Israel and Judah, they will become different. God says, I will do this. And then in verse 13, I will bring them out from the people. I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them. Verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture upon the high mountains. Verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, and so on. But then he says, I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. He will feed his flock, but he will also feed with judgment those who would seek to destroy that flock. And then in verse 22, to sum it all up, he says, therefore will I save my flock. Therefore will I save my flock. This is what I will do. And therefore, when we receive a promise like this from God, we can be absolutely certain it's going to be. God doesn't make empty promises. He doesn't say he's going to do something and then fail to do it. He's going to do it. So those who receive this promise, wouldn't they naturally be looking for God to do it? Wouldn't they naturally be looking for evidence? God is acting as a shepherd. God is gathering his flock. God is keeping his word. In verse 23, God says, I will set up one shepherd. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now we know David was dead. David had served his generation, but what here is the Lord talking about? David. The New Testament David, just as John the Baptist was the New Testament Elijah, so Jesus Christ is the New Testament David. He was often referred to as Jesus, the son of David. But this is what the Lord is saying, I will raise up a shepherd like David to attend to my flock, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now, when we come to John chapter 10, we have the Savior saying, I am the good shepherd. So he's identifying himself here, and he's identifying a relationship that he has with his people. He's the shepherd. They are his flock. They are his sheep. And therefore, the first thing that we should note is the shepherd's unique relation to his sheep, his unique relationship. We've already sought to point out how unique he is as a shepherd, the chief shepherd, that great shepherd, as well as the good shepherd. But as with the other I ams, the Savior is claiming deity here. I am, the great I am what I am. I am what I want to be. I am what I desire to be. I am what I purpose to be. I am unchangeably what I am, what I have been, what I ever will be. And this is what the Lord is saying through Jesus Christ. I am from all eternity. I am God, and now I am man in human nature. But when the Lord Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, it tells us something not only about who he is, but what he is, what his nature is, what his character is. He doesn't say, I have become the Good Shepherd, or I will act like the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. I am feeding the flock. I am caring for the flock because I am. I am the same yesterday, today, forever. I am by nature. I am what I will to be. I am the Good Shepherd. Before ever I came into this world, I am by nature the Good Shepherd. I am by nature the Great Shepherd. And I have come to engage in the work and the activity of shepherding. And he is claiming here deity, eternal deity. But in the light of what we read from the prophecy of Ezekiel, he is also not just claiming deity, but he is also claiming messiahship. In Ezekiel 34, what the Lord is talking about is the great and glorious days of the gospel, the great blessings through the gospel for the Lord's Zion, for his flock. And Jesus is saying, I am that shepherd that God was talking to Ezekiel about. I am that shepherd that he was promising. Not only did he say, I will give a shepherd, and if you go back just for a moment to that chapter 34, we stressed from verse 11, God saying, I, even I will do it. And we emphasized all that I will gather, I will feed, and so on. But then in verse 23, I will set up a shepherd. I will be the shepherd, but I will also set up a shepherd. So clearly in the mind of Ezekiel must be a shepherd that has to be divine. If God is saying, I will shepherd my flock, but I will raise up one to be a shepherd, what do we expect? A shepherd that is divine. And that's what the Savior is saying here. I am actually that good shepherd. I am the very Word. The Word made flesh. I was the one who was speaking to Ezekiel. I'm the Word. And I was saying what I would do as God, in the counsel of God, the triune God. But also, I am the one raised up to be the shepherd. I am the true Messiah. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the great shepherd. We remember what the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is a shepherd, but he's my shepherd. And the psalmist is, of course, referring to the one who's speaking here, I am the good shepherd. But then, that claim also includes the claim to sinlessness, not only deity, messiahship, but sinlessness. You remember the one who came running to Jesus, and he was saying, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say? Why callest thou me good? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God only. You see again when the Savior says, I am the good shepherd, he has to be claiming deity because he himself said there is none good but God only. And I am the good shepherd. I am God. I am the divine shepherd. That's why I am that great shepherd. But when Jesus said there is none good but God only, what did that mean? There is none without sin. There is none who is holy and righteous and just and pure. God only is good. Now the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, in the chapter 3, what does he remind the Romans of? The fact of their fallen condition. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. There is none that doeth good. Society today would not agree with that. I meet with people regularly and you get into conversation about spiritual things. What do they say? Well, you don't have to go to church to be good. You don't have to read the Bible to be good. I am a good person. I believe I'm a good person. And people think they are good. And what does the Word of God say? There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none righteous. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now here Jesus says, I am good. I am without sin. He was able to ask whenever his enemies would stone him, for what good deed do you stone me? What have I ever done that deserves to be stoned? Stoning was reserved as punishment for those who had broken the law of God to the extent that their punishment deserved death. And Jesus was saying, well, why are you stoning me? What good deed are you stoning me for? And they said, we're not stoning you for any good deed, but for blasphemy. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, when he says this, as we've said, he's talking about a relationship that he has with the flock. And that leads us to consider the shepherd's attention that he refers to, his attention to and care for the flock. Jesus says in verse 12 of this chapter, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. He cares more for himself than he does for the sheep. But Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd, and I care more for the sheep than I do for myself. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm not a hireling. I'm not paid. I'm not hired to look after the Lord's flock, look after his sheep, to care for them. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. They belong to me. They are my sheep, and I care for them. They are my concern. It is very interesting if you go over to the book of Genesis, to the experience of Jacob. You remember how he served Laban, and in Genesis 31, he is desiring to leave Laban and take his reward that he has earned in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 40. This is what he tells Laban regarding his care for Laban's flocks. Thus I was in the day of drought, consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. There is real devotion, real dedication to the care of the flock. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me. He could have said, well, these sheep aren't worth, I'm thirsty, I'm weary, I'm weak. No, I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night. I didn't just look after the flock in the day, but night as well. My sleep departed from mine eyes. I couldn't rest at night, thinking of my sheep, caring for them, seeking to protect them, watching over them, standing between them and the howling beasts of the forest. That was how Jacob related to the sheep under his care. Jesus is saying here, I am the good shepherd. Even Jacob's devotion and dedication can't compare with my care, the care that I have for my flock. And that is something that Peter experienced, and something that he was able, out of his experience, to teach others. When he writes his first epistle, he tells those who are the people of God what they are to do. They are to cast all their care upon him. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. How easily the Lord's people can forget that. How reluctant we are to cast all our care upon him. We would rather carry it ourselves. We'd rather be weighed down with it. Casting all your care, the things that are a concern, do we take them and by faith cast them upon him who careth for you? Now, Peter isn't saying this as a novice. Peter knows out of experience how great this care is, because he is aware of the shepherd caring for himself. Satan hath desired to have you. But the shepherd came between Satan and Simon Peter. And here is Peter acknowledging he cares the great, and you'll see in the context of this chapter 5 of 1 Peter, the one who cares is the shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, this is the chief shepherd that Peter is referring to. And he says, cast your care upon the chief shepherd, because the chief shepherd cares for you. How easily we forget that. Can we think of one moment throughout this day, when Christ forgot about any of his sheep? Can you think of any situation in which you would find yourself where you would be able to honestly say, he doesn't care for me. He doesn't care about me now. He has no care for me. I'm left to myself. I'm left to my own resources. Peter says, he cares. And that's why you cast your care upon him, because he is interested in your cares, and he cares for you. And here's the Lord Jesus saying, I am the chief shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And unlike the hireling, I do care for my sheep. I care about their health. I care about their well-being. I care about everything that concerns them. Anyone who has worked with sheep will know how much sheep do appreciate being cared for. And if there comes a point when they're not able to show that appreciation, you immediately know there's something wrong. When I was a boy in the farm at the time when we were approaching what was called the lambing season, the sheep had to be given extra food. And in the morning, we would go out and call, and wherever they were, they would come to the trough to feed. And then we might count them to see that they're all there, that there's none missing. But then you might see there is one of the sheep hasn't come. And it's lying on its own somewhere. And while the rest have all rushed to the trough, it hasn't come. And immediately you know there's something wrong with that sheep. You immediately know there's something the matter with that sheep. It needs attention. It has lost its appetite, or it is not in good health, or it's not in a good condition. It needs attention. And the Savior is saying, I care for my sheep. I care so much that I am prepared to lay down my life for them. But he goes further, and he says, I am the good shepherd, verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. He doesn't say, I could lay down my life, or I'm willing to lay down my life. He says, I lay it down. And you will see that in the verse 17, Jesus says, therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. My Father loves the flock so much that he loves me for laying down my life to save that flock. And this takes us back again to the heart of God, the shepherding, caring, tender heart of God. In fact, in the prophecy of Isaiah in the chapter 40, there in verse 11, here is another prophetic promise. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And how will he do that? How will we know he's as a shepherd? He's relating to the sheep. He's acting the true part of the true shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, but he will treat every individual sheep as an individual. He will give to every individual the care that it particularly needs. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. How important it is to grasp this. The Savior is saying, I care for my sheep. They are my constant care. Far more even than Jacob cared for the flocks under his care. But he says, I care for every one of them individually. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And the shepherd takes those up into his bosom who are weak and who are in danger. Anyone who works with sheep, well, it's different, of course, perhaps in Australia. But one of the great concerns when I was a boy was to protect the newborn lambs, because the ravens and the rooks were ever watching. They knew when the lambs were being born, and they were moving in immediately, and the first thing they did was peck out the eyes of the newborn lamb, and then they would kill it, and the mother would not be able, she might try and chase the ravenous bird away, but without success. And Jesus here is speaking as the good shepherd who carries the lambs in his bosom. He protects them. He enfolds them in his bosom. He holds them close to his heart. How very precious that is. Sometimes we get so taken up with our daily routines and all the matters that are our concern, and legitimately so. And to think that when it is necessary, the great shepherd will take the lambs and he will enfold them and he will draw them to his heart. He will draw them into his bosom and he will draw them to his very heart. This is the shepherd who is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is he who holds the flock together. The wolf comes, Jesus says, to scatter them. But Jesus says, as the great shepherd, I hold them together. I stand between them and the devouring wolf. That's what Jesus is saying. And he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. I know them. Now that doesn't merely mean that he knows how many sheep he has under his care. That doesn't merely mean that he's able to identify every one of his sheep, knowing the number that belong to him. But he says, I know them. I know them fully. I know their needs, but I know their personalities. I know their character. I know their weaknesses. I know their strengths. I know every one of them through and through. Now that might be alarming sometimes when we think of it, because the Lord knows about every one of us what we don't even know about ourselves. That was the case with Simon Peter. Oh, I will not deny thee. Should all men forsake thee, I won't do that. Jesus was really saying to Simon Peter, Simon, you don't know yourself. You really don't know who you are, Peter, but I know you. And because I know you, I have taken care. I know Satan could have the mastery over you. He could destroy you. So I have taken care and I have stood between you and Satan, and I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And that would indicate clearly, if the Savior had not prayed, Peter's faith would have failed. It would have failed. Now you think of your faith tonight. It would have failed many, many times. It would have failed abysmally many, many times if the great shepherd hadn't interceded and hadn't cared and hadn't prayed and hadn't pled on your behalf. I know my sheep. And Jesus knows every one of his sheep thoroughly. There's nothing about you that he doesn't know. There's nothing about me that he doesn't possibly know. I am the good shepherd, and I give attention because I know when it's needed. I give attention and care as it is needed. And those in the prophecy of Ezekiel, those shepherds who were negligent, they hadn't cared for the sick. They hadn't cared for the wounded. But Jesus does care. And he cares for his people when they are not spiritually healthy. And he can detect when they are not as they should be. And when they haven't an appetite to feed in the Word. And when they haven't an appetite to be feeding on what he provides for them. Well, he knows there's something wrong here. They may not be able to fully discern it themselves, but he knows. And he will take the necessary steps to exhibit his care for their needs. But the shepherd's commitment to his sheep is here also seen. He cares, but he is absolutely committed to them. How blessed it is to grasp that. You imagine if someone was listening to the Savior and they had reason to believe, well, I believe I'm one of his sheep. Then they have this assurance, as my shepherd, he is completely committed to me. He has committed himself as my shepherd to me. Oh, there might be other shepherds and they have their sheep to care for. But this is my shepherd. When David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, then he knows the one of whom I'm speaking is absolutely committed to me. It's because of me he's a shepherd. It's because of me and my nature and what I am and who I am, that's the reason he's a shepherd. You don't expect someone looking after pigs to be a shepherd, someone looking after a herd of cows. They might be herdsmen, but they are not shepherds. The shepherd is a shepherd because he is committed to the care of sheep. And they are his concern. He lives for them. He acts on their behalf. He devotes his whole life to them. And how many times even the children of God lose sight of that. And maybe in the midst of particular experiences, they begin to think as the psalmist David did. How long wilt thou forget me, Lord? Shall it forever be? How honest the Holy Spirit is in relating to you and me what arises in the hearts of some of the Lord's best saints. Imagine the psalmist David. How long will thou forget me, Lord? You have forgotten me. You have left me. Is it going to continue? Is it going to ever be? How long wilt thou forget me, Lord? But the Lord hadn't forgotten David at all. He hadn't forgotten him. David was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He can't forget me. The Lord is my shepherd. And he cares for me. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me to the green pastures. He restoreth my very soul. When I'm weak, he restores me. When I stray, he draws me back. He's truly my shepherd, and he's committed to me. What a blessed reality that is. I am the good shepherd who commits himself to the care of his sheep. In the verse 17, Jesus says here, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I will die before my sheep will die. What a statement. I will die before any of my sheep will die. And he lays down his life to save them, as Ezekiel was promised. I will save my flock. I will give a shepherd, and he will save his people. He will save his flock. And my Father loves me because of the care that I have, the devotion I have, the commitment I make to my sheep. Now, as well as care and devotion to his sheep, the Savior, being the good shepherd, speaks of his control over the flock, over his sheep. Jesus speaks as the shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep, but he also speaks of how the sheep respond to himself as a shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he says in verse 14, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep know me. My sheep know me. Not as a stranger, not as a danger, not as a threat, but they know me as their shepherd. Now it's well known that in Eastern countries, when the shepherd comes in the morning to the fold, maybe half a dozen shepherds appear and all the flocks have been resting together throughout the night. And each shepherd has his own distinct whistle or sound by which his own flock is able to identify him. And the shepherd, one by one, will call his own sheep, and they will separate, and some will go east, some will go west, some will go to the right hand, some will go to the left, but they follow their own shepherd. And he knows his own sheep because they follow him. And they follow him because they know him. They feel safe with him. They feel secure with him. But he knows his sheep, and he leads them into green pastures, and he leads them beside the still waters. And that is how the sheep are identified. They know their shepherd, and because they know him, this is the evidence that they do know him. They hear his voice, and they respond to it. That's the proof they know him. And if you and I would claim to be sheep of his flock, the evidence is in this, that we know him as our shepherd. What is the evidence that we know him? We hear his voice and we follow him. It's a distinctive mark of a child of God, obedience, loving obedience. My sheep, when they hear me, they follow me. And so if I want to know whether I'm really following the shepherd or not, I can ask myself, where are my feet taking me? You know, a sheep is different to other beasts, other domesticated creatures. If you have a field of mud, the cows, cattle, will gladly walk through it. If you have pigs, they will walk straight into it because they feel at home in it. But a sheep will not. And many a time, Any farmer will know where you've got a gateway, especially in Ireland where there's so much rain and that. Because of the constant passaging in and out through it, it becomes very muddy and miry. Now you have no problem whatever to drive a herd of cows through it. They will just go straight through it. Pigs may even stop to wallow in it. But sheep will hesitate immediately. And the leading sheep will seek to come close to the pillar or the post where it is perhaps dry and hard, and it will make its way round. And all the sheep will follow that path. And if you bring dogs to try and hurry them in, what will the sheep do? They will either try to jump over the mud and the mire, and because that's not possible, what they often do is they jump over one another. Their nature is to avoid mud and mire. That's their nature. And if you were to bring them, following a shepherd, to a large, miry part of ground, they will stand and they will bleat and they will bleat because they don't want to enter. They're looking for a way. Can we get round it? That's their nature. Now the nature of Christ's sheep is this, that they do not follow anyone who leads them into the mire. And the shepherd, if you want to know whether you're following this shepherd or not, take consideration as to where your feet are leading you. And ask the question, is Christ leading me here? Is this where the shepherd would take me? Is this the company into which the shepherd would lead me? Are these the places the shepherd would take his sheep? I am supposed to be one of his sheep. I am supposed to be hearing his voice and following him. Is it he who's led me here? Is it he who's influenced me to do this? Or to act here or to be in this company? That's the question, because Jesus is the good shepherd. He never, never, never leads one of his sheep astray. Never. He never leads one of his sheep astray because he is the good shepherd. Now it is interesting what Joseph told his brethren when they were brought down into Egypt. You remember the story in Genesis? Pharaoh told Joseph to bring his father and to bring his brethren to reside in Egypt, and they were given the best of the land in Egypt. But Joseph gave advice to his brethren when they would appear before Pharaoh what they were to tell him. And Joseph said, Pharaoh is going to ask you what your occupation is. And what you must tell him is this, you are herd men. And that you've looked after cattle. And then he tells them the reason. Whatever you do not say you're shepherds. Because every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Now, Egypt, of course, is again and again used as a type of the world. And because Jesus says, I am the true shepherd, he is not accepted by the ungodly world. And that's what distinguishes those who are believers and those who are not. Those who are true believers, those who are trusting in Christ, They follow him as the good shepherd. They love him. They're devoted to him. They follow him. They believe that they are safe under his care. But on the other hand, those who are not of the flock, those who have the spirit of the world within them, they do not want to hear the voice of the shepherd. They do not want to be under the control of the shepherd. They do not want to be guided by him. They want freedom and liberty to go their own way. Now, when Jesus is saying here, I am the good shepherd, he is referring, as we've emphasized, to the fact of a relationship. And that relationship has to do with our spiritual lives. We're either under the care of the great shepherd, or we're going our own way. And Jesus says, as the good shepherd, he gives to them life. He it is who gives them life, who protects their lives, who sustains their lives. He lives to give them life. If we do not have Christ as our Savior, we're in danger. Every one of us. Unless we have Christ as our shepherd, we are in danger. Great danger. And the devil goeth about as a roaring lion. What for? Seeking whom he may devour. And who will he devour? Those that are not under the care of this shepherd. My dear young people, every one of us, the devil who would penetrate into the very circle of Christ's disciples, and he would seek to stumble Peter. But he entered into the very heart of the Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. He entered into him. The power of Satan to destroy is truly great. The only hope of protection we have is under the care of this great shepherd. But when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, when we go back to Ezekiel, we discover this. He's God's provision. He's God's shepherd. A good God has provided a good shepherd. A shepherd that we can cast all our cares upon because he cares. How can anyone reject such a shepherd? Boys and girls, young people, every one of us, can we tonight reject that shepherd as though we don't need his care? We don't need his protection. We don't need him as a shepherd. We are fit to look after ourselves. We will take care of our own destinies. I am the good shepherd. Will we say amen to that? Or will we reject him? May God bless his word. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we humbly bow before thee to thank thee for thy word, to give thee thanks for the one who came and was able to state, I am. And we rejoice that there is one whom we can identify as the good and the great shepherd. May thy dear people day by day be conscious of this, his care. He careth for you. Oh, may we learn more and more to be casting all our cares upon him. And those who are not under that care, we pray that they would be brought to appreciate their own personal need of that great shepherd, and may they seek to be enfolded in his arms and under his care. Bless thy word. Pardon us, now receive us, for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.